Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the hope and the meaning that the resurrection of Jesus brings to our lives. Thank you that his rising from the dead shows us that death is not the end, that we can have the hope of a better life with you, and that our lives on this earth are not in vain. We pray that we might grasp that significance just that little bit more today on Easter Sunday. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. My internet algorithm doesn't always get things right, but it totally did when it sent this comic to my feed. There's a woman saying, "Oh no, this man is doubting his existence. Is there anyone here who is a philosopher?" I am. Along comes the philosophy graduate who knows the motto, "I think, therefore I am." And he says, "Excuse me, sir, according to René Descartes, you exist because you think. You think, therefore you are." The man is saved, there are celebrations, until he wakes up and his cat asks him, "That dream again where your philosophy degree is useful?" Yes. I love it because it plays on all sorts of tropes that we are familiar with. The pretentiousness of philosophers. The uselessness of their theories and degrees in real life. And also how rare it is for people to actually have these existential crises. You know, very few people actually think to themselves, what is the meaning of life? Or does any of this have a purpose? Or is there more to life than this? Or even if they do think those things, they very rarely get into that intellectual kind of despair as a result of thinking them. But what I do see, though, is something very similar in people, which is people who have just stopped caring. Right? I think that's how we approach these crises. Maybe people who tried living for something and it didn't work out. Maybe people who've been hurt or betrayed or disrespected by people they trusted. People who just have now this cynical kind of assume the worst approach to life. They just conclude that none of this matters. There's nothing to live for. And people who say that there is something to live for, they're naive. People who stop caring, they either succumb to despair, or they spend their time trying to make other people's lives miserable, or they just give up and they spend their time just trying to get as much money or pleasure for themselves as they can. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. And I think that kind of thing, you do see a lot, don't you? You see, it's not just philosophers who have existential problems. We just feel them in different ways. On Easter Sunday, we remember that Jesus did not stay dead, but that he rose from the dead. And then doing so, he showed us that there is life after death. There is an afterlife, and that afterlife lasts forever. And how you spend that life depends on what you do in this life. Our lives have significance for eternity. And that's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in the Bible, as Paul reflects on the resurrection of the dead, he says, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." Because Jesus was raised from the dead, there is a type of work that is not in vain. There's a type of work that lasts forever, a type of work that has meaning. And this is a work that we can all be involved in. And that's what I hope we remember this Easter Sunday. That because Jesus rose from the dead, we are new people with a new identity. We are ambassadors for Christ. The passage that we're looking at today is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 to 21. It was written by Paul, who was one of the early followers of Jesus. He's writing to a church in Corinth, which is a city in ancient Greece. And he's explaining why he does what he does. He's showing why his work is so significant. And he says two big things in this passage. He says that Christians are new people and Christians have a new identity. And so first, Christians are new people. And that is what we see in verses 16 to 17. "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. behold, the new has come. One of my friends who is a minister at another church in this area, he's a migrant from South Africa. Late last year, he had the joy of becoming a fully fledged Australian citizen, along with his whole family. They had the ceremony in Knox Grammar. They welcomed him along with all the other new citizens. And beforehand, they sent him a letter saying, "We want to respect the culture that you are from, right? We want to recognize your heritage, even as we welcome you into our country. So please wear your national dress to this ceremony." He didn't have any. The closest he had were the football jerseys of the Springboks, the South African rugby team. And so that was his national dress that he wore to the ceremony. We go through all sorts of changes in our lives. We can change our citizenship. We can change our jobs, our hobbies, our exercise habits. We can change our hairstyle or our fashion style. But all those changes are superficial. Right? They really don't change who you are. You are still the same person underneath, essentially, aren't you? To put it a different way, all those things are changes, but they are not transformations. None of those changes that I talked about would lead you to call yourself a new creation. But when you become a Christian, verse 17, you become a new creation. You become something completely different. In God's eyes, you are completely transformed because Jesus died for your sins and you have a new life in Christ through his resurrection from the dead. You go from being a sinner to being a saint. You go from being in the flesh to being in the spirit. You go from being headed to hell to being headed to heaven. You go from working in vain to working for the kingdom to come. And that old self that you had, the sinful, decaying, dying, hell-bound self, that person doesn't exist anymore. The old is gone. The new has come. And that's what this passage is saying. But you might wonder at this point, well, you know, when people become Christians, they actually don't look too different, do they? Right? They keep the same jobs, the same clothes, the same hobbies, the same families. They don't look like a new creation. Is there anything really different about them? And I want to say, yes, there is. I think it's kind of like upgrading your computer. A few years ago, during COVID, I got a new desktop computer. Before that, I had all these peripherals, right? So I already had the keyboard, the mouse, the microphone, the webcam, the monitor, some speakers. When I upgraded my computer, I wanted to keep all those because I wanted to save money. The peripherals all stayed the same, but what was driving them completely changed. Right? There was a completely new brain, a completely new operating system, a completely new set of protocols and programs. And I think that's kind of what God does when he makes us a new creation. You look pretty similar on the outside. But there is a whole new direction, a whole new way of living and thinking and operating going on under the surface. And all those things on the outside, all those peripheral things have been repurposed for this new creation. This is the fresh start that Jesus brings to his people. If you believe in Jesus, you can be a new creation. You can stop living for nothing and start living for something. You can stop working for what is meaningless and start working for eternity. You can stop spiraling closer and closer toward hell and be renewed day by day to be more like Jesus. You can have a fresh start with the risen King. That is what God does with us, because Christians are a new people. They are a new creation in Christ. Paul then continues in this passage, and he says that along with being this new creation comes a new identity. We have a new way of understanding ourselves now. We have a place in the world. We have a place in God's plans and purposes. We have a work to do that is actually meaningful. We can save lives and souls, and that identity is summed up in one word, and that word is ambassadors. And that's what we see in verses 18 to 21. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Now, Paul is basically saying here that if you want your life to be meaningful, what you are doing has to match up with what God is doing in this world. And this passage shows us what God is currently doing right now in this world. It shows us the kind of business that God is involved in. It says here, God is in the business of reconciliation. Reconciliation is a language of relationships. It kind of has this meaning of enemies becoming friends. And the Bible teaches that we were enemies of God. And that was our fault because we sinned against God. We turned our backs on God. We chose to make ourselves enemies of God. And that's why our world is in the state that it's in today. But also, God still loves us. And what God wants for everyone is for them to come back to him. And God has provided us the way to come back by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to deal with our sins. What God wants is reconciliation. And all around the world, and especially at Easter, God is working in people. He is showing them Jesus. He is giving people a fresh start with him, changing their hearts, transforming their lives. And that's why it says in our passage, verse 18 to 19, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. You know, what's the main reason that our world continues to exist? What's the main reason that God doesn't just end our world right now? It's because God is giving people time to come back to him. That's what God is doing. And we have a part to play in this. We can link up our lives to God's plans and purposes. And we see this in Paul, verse 20 to 21. He goes, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. An ambassador is kind of like a diplomat. They speak on behalf of their country. I want you to imagine that you are Australia's ambassador to Indonesia, say. You are the ambassador. You have an appointment with the Indonesian president. They want to know what Australia is doing in the current conflict. What do you do? Well, what you don't do is make up a policy yourself and write your own statement and present it to the Prime Minister, because you're not the boss, right? You are just the ambassador. You're just the messenger. What you do is you call your friend Anthony Albo and you ask him what you should say, because that is the job of an ambassador. It's to convey the message. And it's similar with God and his ambassadors. The normal way in which God saves people, the normal way in which God reconciles people to himself, is through ordinary Christians telling people that Jesus took their sins on the cross, telling people that they can be forgiven and that they can be right with God, and calling and encouraging people, be reconciled to God. But this is more than just words that we are engaged in when we do this. This is a powerful spiritual activity. And it even says it here, doesn't it? It says that this is God's work, verse 20. It says that God is making his appeal through us. And this happens in all sorts of ways around the globe. It happens with preachers preaching up front at churches. It happens with courses and small groups as God's word is opened and read and taken to heart. It happens with ordinary Christians meeting non-Christians over coffee. It happens when kids and youth invite each other to youth group. In all of these activities, God is making his appeal through us. Our work is syncing up with God's work. This is the kind of work that is not in vain. This is the kind of work that will last forever as people are saved from death and hell and go to eternal life with God. Regulars of this church are probably sick of me saying this, but when I was in my 20s and I was thinking of going into pastoral ministry, one of the key things that did it for me was what I was living for. I was a doctor at the time, but also serving in church. I enjoyed both, not bad at both as well. But my thinking was that, look, if I keep on going as a doctor, I can save people's lives, but they're going to die again anyway. If I'm a gospel worker, I can save people's souls. Even if they die, they will live forever. And so everyone kind of makes it out like it was a hard decision, but the mathematics of it was actually pretty simple. In God's grace, I have seen souls saved. Right? I'm really thankful that there are people who are not in hell because I made that choice. It makes it worth it. It's rewarding. There is a purposefulness to it. And you might not need to do something as dramatic, right? You don't have to give up your job to be an ambassador for Christ. God can use the job that you currently have. But maybe think to yourself, is it worth it for me to spend a few hours serving at church each week if it means that people will be reconciled to God? Is it worth it for me to take a bit of time to learn how to speak about Jesus so that people will be reconciled to God? Is it worth it for me to give financially to this work, to make sure that churches like us and ministries outside of this church continue to operate so that people can be reconciled to God? It is worth it. It may well be the most worth it thing you could do with your time, energy, and finances. And so whether you're new to Christianity or whether you've been Christian for a while, can I encourage you? If you're looking for something meaningful to do, if you want to do something that matters, be an ambassador for Christ. You will be doing God's work in the world. You'll be living in line with the identity that God has given you. Your work will not be in vain. Many people in our world have ceased to care, but God has never given up on caring for us. He sends Jesus, who died and was risen for us. He makes us into a new creation, transforming us from the inside out. He gives us a new identity as ambassadors for Christ, calling us to join the work that he is already doing in this world. On Easter Sunday, we remember Jesus raised from death to life. And that resurrection is also a picture of this new creation that God has worked in us. Will you join with me in praying that we will live out this high and meaningful calling that God has called us to? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your Son Jesus is risen from the dead. Thank you that he shows us that there is eternity to look forward to and eternity to work for as well. Thank you that he shows us that there is a kind of work that is not in vain, that kind of work that lasts till eternity, the work of being ambassadors for Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have made us fit for this task. We thank you that you have made us a new creation in Christ, that because we have believed in Jesus, you have given us your Holy Spirit, you've empowered us for your service, you've repurposed all the peripheral things we have so that they can be directed toward you and your glory. And so, Lord, we pray that our lives, what we do, might sync up with what you are doing in this world. Lord, you are working all over the world at all times to reconcile people to yourself. Please help us to be your ambassadors, passing along that message that you have given us, that Jesus has died for our sins, risen from the dead, and calling people to be reconciled to you. And Heavenly Father, we pray that we may see, we may have the joy of seeing the fruit of this. Souls saved from death and hell, lives transformed to live for Jesus. We pray that we may see that in this church and in this world. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.